baptism is an ancient ritual that predates Jesus. That passage which I just read tells us of Jesus' cousin John, who was a charismatic preacher who people were flocking out into the wilderness to see and hear. He was preaching a baptism of repentance and conversion. He was telling people that their lives could be different. But in order for that to happen, they needed to be different. They would celebrate a ritual cleansing bath in the Jordan River to symbolize that their past was behind them and that their lives were a clean slate. When Jesus went out to hear John, he too asked to be baptized. And when he came up out of the waters, a dove descended from the sky, and he heard a voice from above say, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So, what is baptism? Most of us were taught that it's a cleansing from sin. And it is, in part, especially for those of us who are baptized as youth or adults. The cleansing from sin is central to what baptism is. But baptism is much, much, much bigger than that. Have you ever noticed that there are two voices in the story of baptism, which I just read? There's the story of John the Baptist preaching repentance and conversion. And there's the story, the voice of God saying, "You are my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Friends, I'd like to suggest to you today that even more central to baptism than the washing away of sin is that blessing, that voice of God. For centuries, we have listened to the voice of John the Baptist at the expense of listening to the voice of God in this story. Even more than cleansing and giving us a new slate, baptism is about the unalienable fact that you are beloved by God, that you are loved wholly and completely. And nothing can ever change that fact. It probably won't come as a surprise to you that I wasn't a very popular kid growing up. I hadn't yet discerned my call to ministry, but I was still a geek. I was reading Plato and drawing up blueprints for house plans that I wanted to eventually build when I was in middle school. So I would, on summer mornings, on weekdays, every once in a while, ride my bicycle the 2 miles to church and go to 9 a.m. Mass alone as a high schooler on a summer morning in the week. I was an odd duck. While other kids were doing the things that kids do, I was, like I said, reading Plato and Shakespeare. But oh man, did I want to fit in. I skated on the fringe of some social groups. This group or that would include me for a while. And then I'd just hear through the grapevine about a party I wasn't invited to or something like that. For some reason, one reason or another, I just didn't fit in. It's a story that many of you can relate to. if not that exact story, something else, people picking on you, people somehow being mean for a reason that you couldn't understand. I tried talking to my parents, but they said all of the things that parents have to say. You're nice. You're kind. You're pretty. They don't understand what they're missing. After one particularly dark spot where I felt abandoned and isolated, I decided to talk to my confirmation mentor. I poured my guts out to her about how sad and alone I felt. She listened, and then she directed me over to her kitchen sink. She had a mirror above the sink, and she instructed me to splash water on my face, stare myself in the eye, and say, "I am God's beloved." Splash water, stare yourself in the eye, and tell yourself, "I am God's beloved." And she told me to do that over and over and over again. Splash, stare, "I am God's beloved." It didn't make me any popular, but it did get a kid who was out of her element through a really rough high school experience. Not only that, it's gotten me through a whole lot more. When a really neat older boy tried to pressure me into sex, I was able to avoid something I now know would have been a really bad decision by slipping into the bathroom, looking myself in the eye, and saying, "I am God's beloved." Perhaps more profoundly, it helped me in my defense of my master's thesis. I was nervous as all get out until right before I stepped into the room, I stepped into the powder room, splashed water on my face, and said, "I am God's beloved." Perhaps most profoundly, amidst ugly fights with friends and family and partners, a steely stare and a whisper, "I am God's beloved," has helped me to hold true to myself, has reminded me to fight fair, has reminded me that the person that I'm fighting with is also God's beloved and therefore deserving of compassion and respect and dignity. When my dad lay on his deathbed, the fear of the unknown in his eyes, my tears were the water that was being splashed. And I looked him in the eye and whispered over and over again, "Remember, you are God's beloved." Friends, baptism is about cleansing from sin. But even before that, it's about belovedness. It's about immersing ourselves in that belovedness. And that is what gives us the foundation to be able to address our sins and our faults and our failings with honesty. To know that God loves us so wholly and completely that whatever we have done and wherever we have gone, God welcomes us back with loving arms because we are beloved, wholly and completely, no matter what. And so the next time you're in a bind, the next time that you're in a fight, the next time you're waiting for the results of medical tests, or maybe when your kids are in those really dark, tough places, remember, splash, stare, You are God's beloved. Amen.